So as I said, we're going to be turning to a couple of different places in the Word of God today, because we're going to be discussing why today we celebrate Advent, why it is that we celebrate this season as a church and explore its great significance, not just for us who know who Jesus is and know what Jesus has done, but also for those who do not. As last week we discussed how gratitude will change your attitude, the answer of why Advent is simple, because Jesus changes everything. There isn't a thing he doesn't change. He makes all things new again. And now, some of you this whole time may be screaming in your head, "Christmas already? The bird isn't cold yet, Pastor. You're just as bad as Hobby Lobby, Walmart, getting that Christmas stuff out before we even finish our leftovers." Who's still getting their fifth and sixth helping of leftovers right now? I know that we are. To those who would protest Christmas so soon, we're not talking about Christmas because it's not the Christmas season yet. It's not even close to the Christmas season. We still have a month to go until it's the Christmas season. We're on the doorsteps of another exceedingly great celebration. Another exceedingly great season. The season of Advent, which begins this coming Sunday, December 3rd, traditionally is celebrated 4 Sundays before Christmas Day. Hence, tonight we have our Deck the Halls event to prepare our family of families home for this season and the coming season of Christmas. You should come and join us at 6 because it is a great way to get this time of year started off right, and there will be taco soup. Did I mention there will be taco soup?
Plug it in, plug it in.
The point is that we are at the entryway of the most joyous season of Advent and all the celebrations that come with it. That it is not Christmas yet, the celebration of Jesus' actual coming. It is the season of Advent, the celebration, the remembrance, and a time of great anticipation of his coming. Advent is the anticipation of Jesus' coming. The word itself, by definition, simply means coming. And as early as the 4th century, we see Christians celebrating this season with fasting, with prayer, and focused reading of Scripture, that they would end at the start of that next season on that very Christmas day with a beautiful celebratory feast. We continue in this tradition today. Christians worldwide set apart a particular time to prepare their hearts, their souls, and their minds for the coming of Jesus that first Christmas day. And it's significant for every man, woman, and child, as was promised by God, that was going to happen ever since the fall. It was even in the midst of our punishment for our disobedience that God gives us a wonderful promise as he's pronouncing the curse, the punishment, on that wily snake. It says this in Genesis 3:15. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is a very powerful piece of artwork. It's a picture of Eve and Mary with Jesus in her womb. The serpent wrapped around Eve's leg and Mary crushing the head. Jesus crushing the head of the snake. This verse has been known in the church for many years as something called the pre-gospel, the proto-gospel, the gospel before we knew it was even the gospel. The good news of Jesus' coming, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us to correct all we have wronged, to restore, reconcile creation back to him. Before we even understood what that even meant and what that even looked like, God was doing it. He was preparing for it. God gave us this wonderful forecast that in time, he would bring about a great correction to the great deviation that we brought about to his creation. At just the perfect time, as Paul would write in Galatians 4:4-5, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. This is what we celebrate during the season of Advent. We celebrate with great anticipation that God did it, just like he said he would do it. In this, we prepare our hearts, souls, and minds for the coming of Jesus. Year after year, we do this, and it never grows old because year after year, we are lifted. Our hearts, our souls, and minds are lifted yet again from the muck and mire of this world and focused once again on Christ. Our hearts longing for the only one it should ever long for, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The one prophesied about time and time again throughout the Old Testament. Thousands of years of prophecy about his coming. God's wondrous solution and plan to end sin and death once and for all and to break us free from the chains that bind us. Prophecy about Jesus' first coming that were all fulfilled in his coming. Prophecies and promises about his life that were all fulfilled in his life. A simple fact of the matter that's worth celebrating in itself. Among one of my favorites is Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's one of those prophecies that are just worth singing, which I believe we have planned to do, right, Jacob? Yeah, we have planned to sing that one. Some scholars believe there are more than 300 prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament, minus the ones regarding his second coming, because they have yet to be fulfilled yet. He has yet to come again. He has fulfilled every one of them, which statistically speaking is not just improbable, but impossible by our understanding. An actual mathematical study was done on the probability and possibility of one person just fulfilling 8 of them, yet alone all of them. It was by a mathematician named Peter Stone. He was the chairman of the Department of Mathematics and Astronomy at Pasadena College. And him and his colleagues looked for the chances that it would be that Jesus would just fulfill 8 particular prophecies and that those prophecies could be fulfilled by one person. The conclusion of their research was staggering. The idea that anyone would even just satisfy one of them, yet alone all 8 of them, was 10 to the 17th power. Which, for those who struggle with this in a mathematical mind, take 10 and add 17 zeros to it. That is the probability of Jesus just fulfilling 8 of those prophecies, and only Jesus. One writer actually summarized this by saying, let us try to visualize this chance. If you mark 1 of 10 tickets and place all the tickets in a hat and thoroughly stir them and then ask a blindfolded man to draw one, his chance of getting the right ticket is 1 in 10. Suppose we take 10 to the 17th power of silver dollars and lay them on the face of Texas. Now, this will cover Texas 2 feet deep in silver dollars. That's a whole lot of silver dollars. That's a whole lot of a mess to work through. Now blindfold the man and tell him to travel as far as he wishes, as long as he wishes, but he must pick up the one silver dollar that you marked. What would his chances be of getting the right one? Just the same chance that the prophets would have had writing these 8 prophecies and having them all come true in just any one man. From their day, with their perspective, in the present time they were in, providing they wrote using their own wisdom. God was at work. God was on the move. Because not only is this improbable, Jesus does it. Jesus fulfills them all. He did it. He did it all. God knew what he was doing, and God made a way where there was no way. Because of this, God gave us a reason for hope when things seem hopeless. The perfect example of love, joy in the midst of tragedy, and peace that surpasses all understanding. All things God has shown us, we can find in waiting, just like the Jewish people of old found then. They found hope, love, joy, and peace during the tragedy and trial in the years between the prophets and the coming of Jesus. In fact, there were 400 years, 400 years of silence until that joyous day of pronouncement. 400 years where the people heard no prophetic voice in the land, but waited with great anticipation. We join them in waiting in anticipation. Anticipation of God's coming to set things right that we caused to go so, so very wrong. Because we today, too, are waiting as followers of Jesus, waiting for the glorious day that he would return, that second and glorious advent, when he will come to set the record straight and turn this upside-down world and us back on our feet again. And it's important for us to not grow weary in the waiting. It is important for us to constantly remind ourselves that what are we waiting and longing for, lest we miss the second coming, as most of those who eagerly awaited the first missed it. May we not forget what we're waiting for, and may we allow ourselves to be lifted time and time again. Would you allow your heart, your soul, and mind to be lifted again this Advent season? And just for another momentarily shameless plug, a wonderful way to start lifting that your life would be by joining us this coming weekend at the 48-hour weekend of prayer, where we will be focusing on fixing our eyes upon Jesus, our gaze upon our Messiah, God's rescue plan for you and me, born in a manger.
Plug it in, plug it in.
Really, Jackson? You had to put that one in again? It goes without saying, we need Advent, because we need Jesus. The world needs Advent. We live in desperate and challenging times. Many, even within our own nation here on this earth, are suffering in unprecedented ways, not to mention that which is happening beyond our borders. Addiction and abuse are at an all-time high, not just here, but around the world. Evil and deception, war and famine are all around. It is on every corner you turn. How can such a desperately lost and hopeless world ever find hope, love, joy, and peace amidst such circumstance? It begins to do this by finding it in the one place where it is freely given by his plan, by his design. It happens when his people choose to live out such things despite their situation and circumstances, and not only be lifted themselves, but choosing to lift others along with them. Because as we are elevated in Christ, as he lifts our hearts, our souls, our minds from the muck and mire, he wants us to go and lift others as well. I recall a story of the famed German pastor during World War II named Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who in November of 1943 found himself placed in a Nazi prison camp without having any real hope of ever being released. With the war raging all around him, he would not know if he would ever see his family again. He was forced to wait to see if the affairs of the world would turn to his favor, which were bleak at best. However, he did not seek hope in his release. He held on to something greater. Despite being in prison, Bonhoeffer and those there had every reason to celebrate Christmas, decorations and all. And he was allowed to actually bring a little bit of Christmas to what he was limited to where he was at. Something he actually wrote about while he was in prison, in a very hopeless situation, finding the hope the season gives. In this one, one Bonhoeffer expert wrote this: he helps us see how our immediate circumstances do not dictate whether we have good reason to wait for and hope for the next coming of Jesus Christ. Our immediate circumstances do not dictate whether we have good reason to wait for and hope for the next coming of Jesus Christ. In short, he shows us there is always a reason to have hope in Christ. We are always able to find hope in Christ because of that first coming, the fulfillment of that great promise. He and his fellow prisoners found hope, love, joy, and peace in Christ due to this, despite their circumstances. Which I'd like to ask again, would you allow your heart, soul, and mind to be lifted again this Advent season? Because here's the thing, your answer to that question can in turn be the reality of how others around you experience this season, as we've talked about. Because just like those in prison chains and cells, like with Bonhoeffer, his story shows us that your fire can turn into a blaze in other people's life. Your fire can ignite the fire in other people's lives, giving them hope in hopelessness, love in their abandonment, joy in their despair, and peace in the chaos, in the name of Jesus. Know this, the world is looking for this. It is. Many are looking for this right now. Especially during this time of year, amongst any other time of year, people are looking for Jesus. Now, they don't know they're looking for Jesus, but they're looking for Jesus. You know, in fact, this time of year, when your unbelieving family, friends, neighbors, and coworkers are going to be most open, is this time of year. It's this time of year when those people that you know who don't know Jesus are going to be the most open to hearing that story about Jesus, to accepting that invitation to come to the table with you, to accept to hear that first Christmas story. They are more open this time of year than any other time of year. This has actually been statistically proven by the Barna Group. They've done a lot of research on this. We even have an acronym in our society to explain this phenomenon. It is CEO, Christmas and Easter only. You have a lot of people who during the Christmas and Easter season, that's whenever they flee towards Jesus. That's whenever they come towards Jesus. Well, one, because it's been culturally conditioned in them that that's when you go to church. But the reality is that people are more open to the message now than they are ever before because they are looking. In the midst of the muck and mire of this world, people are looking for a reason to have hope, a reason to receive love. They're looking for something to bring them a semblance of joy. And boy, they would do anything for just a bit of peace. Have you ever wondered why, out of all the holidays, all the celebrations on the church calendar, that Christmas Day and Advent are celebrated by and large by our culture? Of course, we've tried to change the name, but we've kept a lot of the same traditions, a lot of the same symbols. In fact, even with ABC's 25 Days of Christmas, which they now call 25 Days of the Holidays, there's still this idea of our celebration of Jesus' coming. The manger can always be seen somewhere. And even though they call it 25 days of Christmas, Christmas isn't 25 days. We addressed that last year. Christmas is 12 days, just like the famous carol, the 12 days of Christmas. And it starts on Christmas Day, the season of Christmas. You know what it is 25 days? Shopping. That was a good one. Advent. Advent is something that we celebrate for 25 days. But there's always a glimpse, even with all the cultural distortion, there's always a glimpse and understanding of a manger there. You know, the world is looking. The world is seeking, more so now than ever, and they're trying to find anything they can to replace Jesus. But the truth is, there's nothing that will ever be able to replace the hope, the love, the joy, and the peace that Jesus brings us. And how he lifts us each and every Advent in these things. In fact, we have a short, funny video about this. And we've shown it every Advent for the past several years. It's kind of become our family of families tradition. So I thought, why not show it now?
Hey, Ed. Come check out my North Star Christmas tree topper. It levitates. Is this a gummy bear?
Yeah, we lost baby Jesus. Hey, check out these LED lights. I have them synced up to a 76-hour all Christmas music playlist.
There's my little Christmas DJ.
Ow. So, are you waiting till Christmas is over so you can go buy a new nativity set when they're on sale?
Huh? No. We lost baby Jesus like 11 years ago.
Is baby Jesus always a gummy bear?
No. We trade it out every year. Yeah, like last year it was a tiny troll doll. And the year before that we used a dog treat. They were the perfect size, but Dalton kept taking them and eating them.
You mean your dog kept stealing them?
No, my son Dalton, he loves those dog treats. Especially the peanut butter ones. There was one year that we used a doll head. That was creepy. We made a modeling clay baby Jesus. So the dog took that one too. One year we got desperate and used an ice cube. That was a miss and a mess. Yeah, just seems like everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never lasts.
Say that again.
Everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never seems to last.
And
what?
Say it again, slowly.
Why?
Just do it, dulcimo, slowly, do it.
I don't understand what's happening.
Just do it.
This is getting weird.
Say it!
Fine! But when I'm done saying this, you're gonna march in here and you're gonna watch my star levitate.
I'm fine, do it.
Fine. Everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never seems to, oh, yep, there it is. Okay, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
The world needs Jesus. Granted, the world doesn't know it is Jesus that it needs. The world knows it needs something and is looking for something. And those who don't know what that something is, it is those who don't know what that something is. They don't know what they're actually looking for, even though it's right in front of them. He's in you. He is in you. And they are looking more and more for that Jesus in you than any other time of the year than this time of the year. There is this sense in our society that there is something special about this time of year. This is why those in our societies look for all sorts of things that they can try to find out what it is that is special. We look into Christmas traditions, family gatherings, friends, Black Friday shopping, or as I like to call it, black eye shopping, gifts, stuff, decorations, and don't forget those Hallmark movies. We are all searching for something this time of year more than any other time of year. There is something about this time of year that is different from any other time of year, and it makes humanity more open to the promises of God. That softens the hardness of heart caused by sin to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world is looking for hope, love, joy, and peace, but it never finds it because it's looking for it in all the wrong places. Would we choose today to be a people that are not only lifted by Jesus, but to come alongside others and invite them to be lifted as well in the celebration of the one who gives it all? Would we be lifted to lift another? Those who don't know Jesus need this more than ever. They just need someone to help them find it. Because no matter how much we want to admit it, no matter what it is that we try to replace baby Jesus with, it just doesn't seem to last. Understanding our call that Peter would give us in his letters is to always be prepared for the reason. For the hope that you have within you. Knowing this time of year is that time that we must be prepared and ready to lift another. That is, if you have already found that hope, that love, that joy, and peace that those same shepherds on the morning of his birth found in Luke 2:20 and how they responded. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. which is really the only proper response. If you've truly been lifted by Christ, it is to praise Him. It is to glorify Him, not just privately in a small, tiny room, but out there in the world as you're going about praising Him and glorifying Him, taking captive the opportunity that is before us. How do you intend to celebrate and proclaim that hope, that love, that joy and peace of Jesus this year? Not just within the confines of your home, but also in your neighborhoods, your family gatherings, your corporate Christmas parties, and your last-minute trip to Walmart for that last-minute grocery need on Christmas Eve for Christmas Day's feast. Now is the time to celebrate. Now is the time to proclaim more than ever with every fiber of our being. The time is now. The world is ready. The fullness of time has come for someone in your life, just like the fullness of time had come for the world. As Paul would say in his letter, that the fullness of time came and Jesus came. The perfect time had come, as Paul said, for Jesus. And isn't that the truth? Not only did the Roman Empire unify most of the known world at that time with roads to be traveled and a common language to be spoken, but the people of God, the Hebrew people, have been scattered throughout, ready to receive the truth and then in turn share the truth in their own communities. That good news of Jesus Christ. God ensured for it to be the perfect time. There was no more perfect time than then, just as there is no more of a perfect time than now for us, for them. Our community needs this. Our world needs this. Who is God calling you to lift as you are being lifted by Him? I want us to actually take a moment to pray, that we would take a moment to take a deep breath and to ask God to show us who it is that He's already placed in our life, that the fullness of time has come for Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Reveal to us where it is You're already working right in front of us. Show us, Lord, how it is You have already commanded us to come right there and to do the work that You have for us. Show us who it is, Lord, that You have put right in front of us, who is ready, that fullness of time has come for, to receive You as their Lord and Savior. Show us who it is that You would have us lift as You continually lift us. Amen. Whoever it is that God has placed in front of you, how do you plan to lift them, to help them fix their eyes on the one they have been searching for, unaware of who it was all this time? No. That there's a lot of power in a simple invitation. And I'm not talking about an invitation to church, although that goes a long way. You know, they actually done research on that. A person's more likely to step foot in a church for the first time ever, not because the pastor invites them, not because they get an invite card in the mail, but because a friend or a family member came up and personally asked them to come with them. They are 80% more likely to come if you invite them. But don't just invite them to an event, which we do have some great events coming up. You know, the family movie night on December 16th, which we will be sharing the gospel at. We also have our special children and youth takeover Christmas Sunday on the 17th. We even have the Thursday open house nights in our community. But you know what this world needs? It's not another event. Sure, invite them. I want you to invite them. But don't just invite them to an event. Invite them to a person. Invite them to come and experience Jesus along with you, wherever that may be. It may be around your table one evening as you read the Christmas story together. It may be an invitation to just say, hey, have you ever took time to actually hear what it is that we are celebrating? Would you like to? It is taking that time to say, you know, I really just feel like there's something that you would like me to pray for you for. Is there a way I can pray for you? And you know why I want to do this? Because I know that prayer matters, because this is how I've seen God move in prayer in my own life. And I know he could do the same in your life. Let me tell you about what Jesus did for us, what the season is all about. Don't just invite people to fill up their calendars. Invite them to encounter Jesus. Invite them to a person, just like Bonhoeffer did in the middle of a Nazi prison camp. Long ago, by living in the hope, love, joy, and peace that Jesus brings. And that's the key there too, to invite them to encounter Jesus. You too must have authentically encountered him. You must have that hope. You must have that love, that joy, and that peace within you. Because if you do not, you're not going to be able to invite them to anything. So first, we must ask God to lift us so that we could lift others. God, to help us to come away from what is stressful but insignificant. Say no to what is empty so that we can enter into what is eternal, essential, meaningful, and restful. Come, Jesus, come. And Lord, help me come. And as we come, would we choose to bring others along? This is what Advent is all about. This is the meaning behind it all. Because we know no matter how hard we try, everything we try to replace Jesus with does not ever seem to last. It's not a proper fix or replacement. Jesus is the one and the only one we desperately need and have been longing for. Therefore, we eagerly await with great anticipation his coming year after year as we remember why he came and experience the wonder of his coming and go forth and share the good news of the birth of our Savior. Because no matter our circumstances, no matter our situations, we can be lifted up with hope, with love, joy, and peace. Because Jesus changes everything. Just like he lifted Horatio Spafford, writer of the famous hymn, It Is Well, which I invite our worship team to come up right now as they will be leading us in the song in just a moment in our time of reflection and response to a message from God's Word today. But as history says, for those who are unaware of the story behind the hymn, Horatio Spafford was a successful lawyer and a devout church elder who had put much of his money into property until in October 1871, the Great Chicago Fire reduced his investment to ashes. 2 years later, he planned a trip to Europe where his friend, Evangelist D.L. Moody, would be preaching. However, last-minute business issues held him back, and he sent his wife and daughters on ahead. On the 22nd of November, 1873, while crossing the Atlantic, their ship collided with another vessel and sank, with the loss of 226 lives, including all four of his young daughters, Annie, Maggie, Bessie, and Danita. Only his wife survived. While journeying to meet the heartbroken Anna, as the ship passed the point where his children had drowned, he penned the words, "It is well." If Jesus can lift Horatio, surely Jesus can lift you. Remember, Jesus makes all the difference. Jesus changes everything. Therefore, would we choose to be a people that have been lifted by Jesus this Advent? And if so, would we choose to lift another knowing they're wanting this, they need this? They need you. This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen.